2012 with Richard Kingsmill
on Triple J.
So Willie Mason, the American singer, is back with his third studio album. We had to wait a few years for it, but it's a beauty. The new one is called Carry On. It comes from a really strong musical family. Both his parents are musicians and still carrying on to this day in the musical world. He started on the music scene pretty young. He was in his teens when his debut album came out in 2004. It was called Where the Humans Eat. It turned into a gold record for him in the States, thanks to the success of the lead single Oxygen. I'm going to speak to Willie Mason in just a moment about his new album after we hear a little bit of that first hit for him.
I wanna be better than oxygen, so you can breathe when you're drowning and weak in the knees. I wanna speak louder than Ritalin for all the children who think that they've got a disease. I wanna be cooler than TV for all the kids that are wondering what they're going to be. We can be stronger than bombs if you're singing along and you know that you really believe. We can be richer than industry as long as we know that there's things that we don't really need. We can speak louder than ignorance, 'cause we speak in silence every time our eyes meet. On and on and on it goes, the world it just keeps spinning, until I'm dizzy, time to breathe. So close my eyes and start again anew.
Let's talk about your new album. You recorded it in England. Now, I don't think you did that for the first two albums, did you?
No, both the first two were in upstate New York.
So the vibe of recording in England, does it make a big difference where you are when you record?
Yeah, definitely. And the studio, too. The studio that I was in felt a lot like the studio I was in for the first album, just in the fact that there was a family living there.
A family living in the studio, so it's a house studio.
Yeah.
So is this Dan Carey's house?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's the producer, and it's interesting because his resume so far as a producer, he's just done the Bat for Lashes new album. He's also worked with Sia, an Australian singer. Very different type stuff to Willie Mason. So how'd you hook up with him?
I met him through a mutual friend who'd done a session with him maybe 4 years ago or something, and she stayed close with him.
Do we know who that artist is?
Her name is Mara Carlisle. I don't know if she's had stuff released over here, but we've done a lot of touring together in the UK. She's an amazing singer. I highly recommend her album.
What sort of stuff does she do?
She's a singer and songwriter. She's a bit more, I don't know how you say it, sophisticated than me. Her melodies are complex. She had the British Symphony Orchestra on her album. She wrote an arrangement for them herself.
So you're friends with her. She recommends Dan.
She brought me over to his house for lunch. I'd written the songs and I was out of a contract, so I was looking for a producer.
And what did you think?
I loved the place. I sat down in his studio and it felt really good. And I played him a song and he thought it felt pretty good too. So we just decided then and there to make a record.
Did he think it was a unique collaboration for him as well because of the stuff he's done in the past?
I don't know. We didn't really talk about that. I think we just related to each other in terms of the way that we both go about making music.
Which is what?
Spontaneous and just fun.
This record is a very different vibe to the two records you've done to date. It's got a lot more atmosphere to it.
Mm.
There's a lot of interesting rhythms happening. There's some really great bass sounds happening as well.
Mm.
Did you and Dan talk about this stuff before you started rolling tape?
Not particularly, no.
Wow, so it really
just
is
a little
spontaneous.
Bit. Yeah, he sent me one track, something that he'd been working on that had a little bit of pitter-patter behind it for the rhythm. And he said, what do you think of this? I said, oh, that sounds pretty cool. And that was kind of it for our pre-production discussion.
Sounds pretty simple.
Yeah.
So given that this record's a little different to your first two, is this the beginning of something new for you, do you think?
Well, yeah, it's something different. It's always something new, I guess. I know that I'm excited about being back on the road. I took like 3 years off or 4 years off after the last album. And now I've already started writing songs for the album to follow this one. So I'm looking forward to the years to come.
And you reckon the next record could come a little quicker?
Yeah. I haven't got a picture.
pickup truck to take me into town. I don't have the ways and means to lay my money down, lay it down. But I've got gold underneath the ground.
You started so young. I mean, you were traveling around playing music from the age of 17 onwards. Put out your first record at the age of 19. There was a bit of buzz going around about Willie Mason in the UK, especially around that time. Were you taking it all in? Did it seem too easy in a way when you were 17, 18, 19?
It did seem strange, yeah. It was too much synchronicity going on. And next thing I knew, I was just having a lot of success. And the shows were going crazy. But it was a lot of fun, too.
Yeah. Well, you're 27 now. So how does it seem, the music scene and your place within it? How are you viewing it now?
Well, everything's changed quite a bit. And for me, going out and doing it all again, I feel kind of lucky. It's like I got the chance to have a rehearsal and go through and do it again now, and I sort of know what to anticipate.
What about in terms of the length of your career? Do you have any sort of gauge as to how long you're going to do this for? Are you a long-term artist?
Well, we'll see. I'm getting on, 10 years now almost.
I mean, a lot of people panic. A lot of people kind of think when success comes, got to capitalize on it, got to get in quick with another record and sort of make the most of it while audiences are there and people are interested. But you come from a musical background. Both your parents are into music as well and professional musicians at that. But do you panic? Do you kind of see a finite time for Willie Mason, or do you just think that you'll be making records when you're 50, 60, 70?
I know that I'll always find a way to make music, but I do feel like I feel a responsibility to make the most out of my time now. I'm starting to feel a great responsibility as a writer to try to make useful art while I have the chance.
Hmm. Are you a fast writer or a slow writer?
Once I sit down, it's pretty fast, but the ideas take a while to germinate. I've started trying to force myself to just write as an exercise as well when the ideas aren't there.
How's that?
It's hard work.
Is it painful?
It's painful.
Do you sit there for hours on end just hitting your head against a wall?
Yeah.
You must come up with some pretty crazy and stupid and bad stuff.
Terrible.
And is it salvageable, or do you just have to bin it?
I'm getting good at binning things. I think that's part of the exercise. But some of it's salvageable. Yeah, I'm actually surprised a lot of the time.
I wanted to talk to you a little bit about influences too. I've read that you're listening to a lot more country now at this point in time than maybe the blues music you grew up on. But are country and blues your main two musical passions?
Country and blues and gospel, yeah.
And this is all stuff that was handed down from your parents?
Mostly. You know, it was sort of based on the germs that they gave me, or the seeds that they gave me of music. I've done a lot of looking, you know, over the years and finding my own stuff.
What do you hear in that music? Because a lot of it comes from the 50s and 60s.
I hear the release in it, the letting go, and the spiritual release. That's what I love, and the rhythms. The feeling of just letting go and wailing. Having the opportunity to shout and have people be there, right there with you.
Well, a lot of gospel music, as beautiful as it is born from pain and born from suffering. Would you, and not to sort of make it too dramatic for you, but is that when you're at your best?
I think I'm at my best when I'm carrying all of my difficult experiences with me, not ignoring them, but also not letting them have the best of me.
Listen, this record's terrific. It's really great. It's a really fantastic release from beginning to end. And I hope you make another record quickly too, because it has been a while. I want to play a track right now. I've played I Got Gold a little bit. I don't want to play that one right now. I want to actually play Pickup Truck. But I want to ask you about the whole imagery, because you mentioned Pickup Truck a couple of times on this record. Is that a symbol of freedom for you? Is that why you kind of included it in your lyrics?
I guess it was at the time. It wasn't an intentional theme of the album. I did have a pickup truck at the time. It was the first vehicle I bought.
Yeah, right.
And when I was writing some of the songs, I was wishing that I had a pickup truck, because I didn't have a vehicle. But this song that you're talking about is a true story about a friend of mine who was living out of the back of a pickup truck.
Through choice?
I mean, kind of. She was definitely embracing it as something that was giving her some freedoms that she wouldn't have had otherwise.
Does she still live that way?
No, she moved on from the pickup truck. then she was living in sort of a sophisticated camping situation for a while.
What's a sophisticated camping situation?
A teepee.
Okay. All right.
But she's somebody who's always managed to live with style. You know what I mean? If she's stuck living in a pickup truck, she does it in a way that's somehow graceful. Now she's in a house. And she's got one of the best gardens I've ever seen.
Wow, so. Okay. And she's happy?
She seems happier than she's ever been, yeah.
That's good. And what about you? You still got your pickup truck?
Nope, I sold the pickup truck.
Ah, so it's gone as well.
Yeah.
Do you romanticize about the time that you had the pickup truck now?
Sometimes I miss it, yeah. Sometimes I regret selling it. I still see it because I sold it to my neighbor, and I see him driving it, and sometimes...
Well, you can keep track of it to make sure that the neighbor keeps good condition of it.
Yeah, right.
She woke up with the pieces following her. Here comes the winter fires to burn. Everyone's got places to go. Running from what they already know. Sleeps in the back when she gets stuck.